This is Softly, Softly, Know Me, Hold My Hands in Error. A Star Wars Episode 7 The Force Awakens fanfic, written by Nott Case Pollard and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the relationship Poe Dameron-Finn Rey, with additional tags for OT3, Quiet Moments of a Rebellion. Brought to you by, have you seen Oscar Isaac playing a guitar though? It is intolerable. Recovery. Finn's Recovery. It's their hands he really falls in love with first. Back in Stormtrooper training, back when he was FN2187, he wore the armor they'd given him pretty much day in, day out. Covered from head to toe in molded plastisteel, as close to identical as they could make him. He'd wondered, when he was on long watch assignments and had space in his head to wonder, why they hadn't stuck with clones if they'd wanted everyone so impersonal. It took more power to break someone of their identity when they'd had someone unique to break every time, Finn thinks now. And Hux is nothing if not committed to power. Anyway, there'd been a few situations and a few pieces of armor it was more or less acceptable to remove. The gloves, usually. If they got wet, it was impossible to maintain a grip on anything. And working down in sanitation, hip deep in wastewater pipes or clearing a flood in the overflow drain, you needed a grip on something. Mostly, the trooper next to you. FN2187 hadn't even minded the wet or the cold or the smell that the mask never filtered out, not with someone else's small hand gripped palm to palm with his own. In the mess, too, it was acceptable, even encouraged, to take off the gloves. They were designed to work with the grip of a blaster, but not to hold a spoon. And after working all day in who knows what muck, nobody wanted that touching their rations. The helmet, too, they'd pulled off during meal assignments. Impossible to eat with a faceplate blocking your mouth. But everyone had learned fast you didn't make eye contact while the masks were off. Eyes down, faces held as neutral as you could make them, no talking. Not when voices weren't being modulated by the helmets. Not when you'd be able to hear emotion by the way someone's voice shook a little, or rose in anger, or dropped low in gentle encouragement. Hands, though. They were within sight even with your gaze held low. And perhaps there was something about the sight of bare skin that made Finn feel human. That made them all feel a little less like a soldier, and a little more like people with names and faces and something inside the armor. They developed a code in the subtlest of ways. Holding a fork a certain way, touching your index finger to the table, curling your hand in on itself, brushing your own fingertips against your palm. Holding whole conversations in nothing more than delicate little flickers of their fingers, as surreptitious as they could make them. I'm tired. These protein rations are the worst. I killed someone today. How are you? Holding up, soldier? I'm scared. I'm hurt. Please help. Probably the officers had known, or suspected. Maybe they even had code of their own. Finn doesn't know why else they didn't ban it or punish the troopers who'd made the signing too obvious. Perhaps they were just as human as everyone else, needed the contact just as much. Perhaps they just didn't care. There was one other time the helmets and gloves came off. They had slept in stripped-down armor suits, uniform from wrist to ankle just as much as ever, and in the dark nobody could see her face. But FN2187 had fallen asleep with someone else's hand warm in his more times than he could count. And he thinks, maybe, that press of skin against skin held more power than anything Hux could have broken out of them. Now that he's Finn, he can look at people's faces anytime he likes. And he does. He does. He fills his eyes with how Ray and Poe smile and laugh and frown and cry. Ray's smile doesn't appear often, but when it does, it's blinding, wide and joyous in a way that Finn has to glance away from with how fierce she is, an expression that burns in his eyes. Poe's laugh makes his eyes crinkle. He throws his head back, wipes tears away with his knuckles, and he's so beautiful it makes Finn want to capture this in a hollow every time. He watches as Rey grits her jaw, as Poe bites his lip, as both of them cry over him when he comes out of a coma, and he knows why the First Order covered his soldiers' faces. Because every expression from Rey and Poe makes Finn love them so much his heart feels too full with it. But it's their hands that undo him. Poe's hands first. He'd seen them captured, being led up onto the finalizer and binders, and he'd been so used to avoiding looking at faces, he'd done it without thinking at first. Glanced back, and had to blink away again with the mute, forsaken despair on the pilot's face. A man going to his death, with nobody coming to save him. And he'd known it. And FN2187 had averted his eyes at the sight of how much it hurt. Looked, instead, at Poe's hands, curled into loose fists. And Finn had translated the message without even thinking. Please, help me. Please. He'd pulled his helmet off in the rescue, because Poe had so clearly needed a face to make contact with, to believe there was a chance. And the eye contact, the expressions? They were so hopeful that Finn had hardly been able to look down at Poe's hands. Wrists still in binders, fingers still outstretched, and force! Finn had wanted, longed to pull off his gloves and clasp Poe's hands in his and tell him, I'm your hope. If he had, he thinks, it would have made losing Poe on Jakku 100 times harder. Instead, there's Rey, and Finn had grabbed for her hand without thinking, and she'd shaken him off. I don't need you to hold my hand, she told him, full of bright and painful independence. And Finn had thought, no, it's not I need, though. When she reached out for him, dragged him to his feet, the warmth of her hand tighten his, had probably been enough that Finn had fallen right there. And then he'd watched her eat, and fuck, if he hadn't already been half in love with her by then. Just watching how Rey had grabbed at every different fruit Miles had to offer would probably have tipped him straight over the edge. Miles might have been able to read his eyes, but Finn had read everything Rey's hands had to say, and the way she'd grabbed as if she was always hungry for more and desperately afraid it would disappear, her scramble to taste everything new, it was clear in every curve of her fingers. While he's still in the medbay bed, when he can't do much except wait to heal, Poe plays a lot of guitar. At first, Finn just drifts to Poe's voice, the soft hum of it in a language Finn doesn't know. It's the gentlest sound Finn's ever heard. When he comes out of the haze of stims, he can watch Poe play, watch him pick out chords and melody, even when his voice falls silent. He keeps his nails cut short so they don't catch on the strings. And his wrists, his fingers, are more fine-boned than Finn realized at first. Delicate, like birds fluttering when he plays. His hands on the scratched wood of the guitar might be the most beautiful thing Finn's ever seen. When Finn's been out of the coma 3 days, he's counting, still shocked the Resistance have put so much into healing him instead of decommissioning like would have been resource efficient. Poe hesitates for the first time, his voice breaking on a note. He says, swallows, plucks at a string and listens to the note hang resonating in the air. I owe you, buddy. No, Finn says. No, you don't. You asked for help, he doesn't say. Everything about you begged for it, and You saved me too. And he's able now, like he wasn't then, to reach out, to take Poe's hand in his. The Bacta-tank has softened Finn's skin, washed away the calluses on his palms, and against his hand, Poe's is rough. He can feel small lines of scarring, the thickened skin on Poe's fingertips that must only come from guitar strings. Poe's hand is as warm as Finn imagined it would be, and it doesn't have blood on his mouth anymore, just fragments of songs that Finn's never heard before, but which he could listen to every chance he gets. Rey comes in every evening, gleaming with the force from her training. At first, she sits on the floor, and Finn can't tell if it's because he's still too fragile for her to risk jostling, or whether she needs the space. Then she's on the foot of his bed, and then curling in against him. And when he's finally moved from the medbay to his own bunk, she presses in even closer, watches Poe play, all rapt attention, and her fingers interlaced with Finn's. "Do you want to learn?" Poe asks her, teasingly one night, his fingers still on the strings. And Rey shakes her head at first, before she sits forward, curious. "How?" she says. And Poe passes her the guitar, lets her strum fumblingly with it for a few minutes, before he leans back against the wall, pats the space between his thighs. Rey crawls into the V of it, settles herself with her hand pressed to Poe's knee, and Finn can hardly breathe with how Poe's pulling her in against his chest, wrapping himself around her so he could show her how to hold her hands, where to put her fingers for the chords. He adjusts her fingering, moves her fingertips from one string to the next, and when they play together, halting and full of laughter, Finn can only look at their hands moving together. Three months after he recovers, he stops counting his days, and something switches in his brain, and he realizes he hasn't thought of himself as a soldier for a long, long time. It's not that he's ever thought about it as if there's blood on his hands. He made the decision that he'd never kill for the First Order, and he would kill for the Resistance. Knows he has, and would again. But deciding he's not a soldier? Getting to make that choice? There's freedom in it, too. He offers his help to Dr. Colonia, and she begins to teach him. Just the easy bits, patching up small wounds and healing little injuries. But the first time he sutures someone closed, with hands that don't shake at all, it feels like an accomplishment. He peels off his gloves afterwards, and touches Pava gently on the shoulder, sending what warmth he can through his palm to her skin. "You're all set," he tells her. "Don't try handling raw metals by yourself next time, maybe?" And she closes her eyes, leans into his hand as if for comfort. "Thanks for your help, Finn," she says after a minute. "I feel better already." And Finn sends her away with rolled eyes and a grin. He's in the mess after his shift ends, peeling an orange and breaking it into segments, when Rey and Poe pile in on either side of him. The two best pilots in the Resistance now. Hot shots, both of them. And back from their training run. Rey immediately grabs a piece of his fruit, laughing as Finn smacks her fingers away. And Poe unzips his flight suit, presses in all warm and disheveled against Finn's hip. "Save lives today, medic?" he asks, easy and light. And Finn laughs, eats a quarter of orange before he replies, "But it's Rey for another segment." "Yeah," he replies dryly. "Rescued Pava from a truly life-threatening scratch, all right. I don't know what she would have done without me." There's juice running down his wrist, and he lifts his hand, tilts his arm to catch it with his tongue. And hears Poe's laughter trail off into very loud silence. When he looks up, both of them are staring, rapt and intent, and Finn blushes before he even gets what's going on. "What?" he asks, and Poe gnaws his lip, and Rey eats another piece of orange, unblinking. Finn considers what just happened, and very deliberately sucks the pad of his thumb into his mouth, licks it clean. Poe makes a low noise in the back of his throat, and Ray goes so still Finn doesn't think she's breathing at all. He's always known he watches their hands. He'd never contemplated that they might be watching his just as closely. This is a choice, too, and Finn's floating in the freedom of it, and he knows before he says anything exactly how it'll be. Doesn't need sign language or code to read it from their eyes. Well, he says, pulling his thumb away and opening his hands wide, palms up. Are you going to come get it or what? And there's a long beat before Finn finds himself being kissed by both of them, sweet and fruit sticky and still buzzing with hyperspace in their blood. Rey's hands are always dirty, smudges of engine grease on her knuckles and earth under her nails. She's discovered the Resistance greenhouses, is learning from the droids how to dig and weed and plant. She gets up with a light, crawls out of bed while Finn and Poe are still muttering about it being too early, disappears off to examine what her plants have achieved in the night. And the first morning, she comes in with carrots, tiny and golden and still tasseled with their long green leaves. She looks triumphant. I grew food, she tells Finn and Poe, and then eats everything, including the leaves. Poe is alarmed by it. What if she gets sick? But to Finn, it's just endearing. He pulls her down into their bed, smells the sunlight on her skin. Bring enough to cook next time, and I'll learn how to make something with them, he suggests, voice husky with sleep. And Ray grins bright and pleased at the idea. One day, she brings him a fistful of flowers, roots still attached and dirt clinging to them. Brave flowers, she tells him unnecessarily, abrupt in the way Finn's learned is Rey's fallback when she's giving a gift to someone. Gifts matter when you've nothing to give. She avoids his gaze, finds a jar and fills it with water, shoves them in, sets it down on the tiny Durastil table in their shared quarters. I grew them. They're lovely, Finn says, because anything Ray grows would be beautiful, and nobody's ever brought him flowers before. But I think you picked them too soon. They're still buds, plump and tightly furled, and Finn can feel how they'd tilt themselves up and open under the warmth of the sun. No, Ray says, looks sideways at him. Smiles soft and quiet and careful, like she has a secret she's going to share. Watch. And then her hands, dusted with pollen and rich dark earth, are curving around the flowers, cupping but not touching. And Finn feels her draw on the force, and the flowers unfurl, petals opening as if Ray is the sun. They're soft and huge, silken and delicately ruffled. And Ray touches her fingertip to the edge of one petal so carefully Finn's heart aches. He looks at Ray's fingers, the bones of her wrists, and imagines himself bloom under her hands. The end.